You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchen. It's Friday, June 13th. At the end of last month, two major incidents unfolded at the Pacific County Jail in a span of just 3 days. The first incident happened on Friday, May 30th, when responders were dispatched to the report of an injured inmate at the jail. According to public records, a 39-year-old male inmate fell and sustained injuries. He was transported by responders to Willapa Harbor Hospital, evaluated, and then transported back to the jail. The man was later released from the jail on June 5th. A second incident, which was initially reported as an attempted suicide inside the jail, happened on the evening of Monday, June 2nd. Three officers on duty quickly responded to the inmate and found them alert and breathing. The individual was transported by aide to the Willapa Harbor Hospital, where they were treated and later cleared to return to the jail. Last October, an inmate hung himself in the Pacific County Jail. That incident was the second death inside the jail in a 2-year span. Ilwaco City Councilors recently voted to move ahead with a significant street repair project that will be primarily funded by the state. The $1.5 million project calls for pavement improvements to approximately 5 miles of Ilwaco City streets. Ilwaco is chipping in roughly $80,000 in needed matching funds, which will come from the city's real estate excise tax fund. The Washington State Transportation Improvement Board's support for the project comes via its Red Town initiative, which provides street maintenance assistance to jurisdictions with populations under 5,000 and with pavement conditions far below the statewide average. These stories come to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer. Read more online at chinookobserver.com. The Pacific Transit System in Pacific County is introducing system-wide route changes beginning next Monday, June 16th. All bus route times are being updated starting next week to better align with each other and to improve rider experience. Pacific Transit says the updates will mean faster connections, shorter wait times, and schedules that are easier to understand. On the Long Beach Peninsula, two buses will now run in opposite directions instead of one long loop, providing more frequent service and reaching new areas like Sand Ridge Road. The Aberdeen Express, also known as Route 52, is being discontinued, but alternate connections are available. Most Pacific Transit routes will remain fare-free. For more details and all updated schedules, go online at pacifictransit.org or call 360-875-9418. Earlier this week, Warrenton City Commissioners adopted the city's 2025-2026 budget. Commissioners also approved rate increases for water, sewer, and recycling services. The roughly $74 million Warrenton budget represents a revenue increase of over $6 million from last year. For this coming fiscal year, the city will begin Phase 2 of the Safe Routes to School project, with the goal of having sidewalks from 9th Street to Warrenton High School by 2027. Other capital projects identified in the Warrenton city budget include erosion control work at Seafarers Park and the city's Iredale Culvert Replacement Project. The largest project over the next 3 years will be the city's new membrane bioreactor wastewater treatment plant. The $35 million project, which is partially funded by a voter-approved bond, will be in the design phase through 2025 and into 2026, with plans to break ground later into 2026. Warrenton City Commissioners have also approved a 4% increase for water rates, an 8% increase for sewer rates, and a 2.1% increase for recycling rates. The adopted budget and rate increases will take effect July 1st. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. Oregon's emergency managers are asking state lawmakers for help as federal uncertainty hinders their ability to help Oregonians during disasters. OPB's April Ehrlich has this report.
The Trump administration has frozen a grant that helps fund local disaster response, leaving Oregon counties and tribes vulnerable ahead of a potentially active wildfire season. Union County Emergency Manager Nick Vora says rural counties like his are already working on tight budgets.
Responding to fires, making sure that evacuations are done in a timely manner. It's all supported on a very thin margin.
The League of Oregon Counties has asked state lawmakers to dedicate about $9 million to help pay for local disaster programs that would backfill what's missing in federal funds for the next 2 years. But the chance of lawmakers doing that is slim, as they grapple with a statewide budget that's already less than what they were expecting. I'm April Ehrlich, reporting.
The fallout from the Trump administration's widespread cuts to the federal workforce are still reverberating. In Washington, officials still don't have a clear picture of the scale, and many former federal workers are still struggling to land on their feet. KNKX reporter Nate Sanford has more.
This spring, Washington's Employment Security Department held a series of webinars to share resources with federal workers who lost their jobs because of the Trump cuts.
So if you are eligible for Washington Apple Health, you can sign up year-round.
Officials shared PowerPoints with resources on healthcare, job training, and unemployment benefits, while former federal workers typed questions in the chat.
There are people that can support you and really help you through this time of transition, and really the goal is to help you find employment.
There was a lot of confusion in the chat. Some former federal workers weren't sure if they'd be called back to work. Others had lost access to the paperwork needed to apply for unemployment.
It's been a difficult process for a lot of people.
Rebecca Howard lost her job as a research biologist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in February. She was reinstated in March because of a court order. In April, she was fired again.
It's definitely been a struggle because my career kind of evaporated with this.
Howard says funding cuts have made it difficult to find other research jobs. Like many former federal workers, she says she's feeling demoralized.
It seems exceptionally cruel for reasons that I don't think any of us really understand.
State officials still don't know how many federal workers in Washington are out of work or where they are. Some people took a buyout or got rehired, making it even harder to count.
We just don't have the data.
Donna Mack is the rapid response manager with the state's employment department. She says that, unlike in the private sector, the federal government isn't required to report layoffs to the state. Elected officials say they've asked for the numbers, but the administration hasn't provided them. As of late May, more than 1,300 former federal employees had filed for unemployment benefits in Washington. That's a 64% increase over the same time period last year. But the total number whose jobs were cut might be even higher. It doesn't include people who accepted the fork-in-the-road deferred resignation offer in February.
Because those folks are still considered employed.
The figure also doesn't include people like Mark Boltzell.
I was let go, but I pretty quickly found another job, so I never really filed for unemployment.
Boltzell worked as a fishery management specialist with NOAA. He was able to find a temporary job doing similar work with the state. But many of his former colleagues are still looking.
We're thrilled to welcome you to this special virtual job fair designed exclusively for former federal workers here in Washington State.
In April, the state continued its online outreach with a virtual job fair to connect former federal workers to employers in city, state, and county governments. Dennis Joska, a former fisheries observer at NOAA, attended. Joska says there isn't much that matches his unique qualifications. He helped analyze fishing vessel data for compliance with federal regulations.
I'm in a way overqualified, but also underqualified.
Annalise Vance Sherman is the chief labor economist with the Employment Security Department. She says Washington's job market has seen a slowdown in recent months.
Certainly, it's a very frustrating situation for anybody who's looking for work right now.
The Employment Security Department doesn't have any more webinars for former federal workers planned. Officials are now pivoting to a new series of webinars, this time aimed at laid-off state employees. Nate Sanford, reporting.
You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at KMUN.org.